Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you motherfuckers.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, you're probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of those cowboy guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black me. Out.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio, hosted by J-Cat Morris, myself, brought to you by my man Eric Williams, as it has been. So much appreciation goes in his direction. Get back here, do another one of these. I got a handful of things to talk about, mostly just wrestling bullshit that should fill time in my brain, at least for the moment. But just to, touch on the personal stuff, as I always like to do. I always like to keep things 100%, because, I'll tear people apart on this show, and tonight will be no different. I definitely have some things to say, but, I'm always very honest about myself and who I am and what I got going on. It's not a matter of me trying to outdo people, in life. The majority of things that I speak on is either people's bad behavior as far as, how they treat women, or, the people who abuse women, or animals, or, that type of thing. And beyond, real personal major things, it's mostly me commenting in my way about someone's performance. And that's what a lot of people, they don't understand that. They don't know how to comprehend that and take some of this stuff and understand where it's coming from, how they could use it or apply it, or just dismiss it and not take it so personally, because it's really not about, me attacking them as a person unless I'm doing exactly that. But if your presentation is, a part of what your entertainment is, well then, your body, your everything you bring forth, that is going to be part of that. That just is, So, but again, that's just back to me. I'm still in complete just, I don't know what they call this, limbo, purgatory, I'm just at this stage where I don't really got a lot going on, but I'm getting through the process of things to get back on track, you know. So I got a body scan a week and a half ago, something like that, which I don't even have results for. That I'm going to have on Monday. Monday I got to go to the doctor, and then they'll give me results on you know, what went on with the scan, if they see anything that they're concerned about or, you know, anything like that. So obviously, you know, a lot of nerves building up to that type of thing. And then I got to go get the colonoscopy again. You know, so this scan will definitely take some weight off my shoulders if things are, you know, good. But we'll take these one thing at a time, you know. I had like a mental evaluation kind of thing. I guess that's what they're supposed to do. I was trying to get disability at least until I can get myself back on track mentally. And because, you know, we just need the finances to be in place, you know, and it's so easy for people who don't deal with what I've dealt with, that haven't gone through this type of struggle and just had to fight mentally for themselves this way. It's easy for people to just say, well, just go back to work and you could work, you know, but this isn't really something that I'm looking to do. This isn't something that I want to be. I don't want to be in this place right now. You know what I mean? I want to be working. I want to be doing things. I'm very physical. I'm very busy. You know what I mean? I'm not really this type of cat to just opt out of working and try to, coast off of anything. It's just, you know, I worked 21 years where I just was. And then before that, a couple of years, and, you know, I've done landscaping, I've done this, I've done that. So, it's not that. It's just mentally, I need to get myself back in shape. And that's the thing is, you know, when you're mentally ill, and that's where I'm at. That's 100% where I'm at. When you know you can't handle things in the same way that you would normally handle things, your sensitivity towards certain things are way, way heightened. You know, and you could just tell that there's serious like crashes going on in your mind. I guess that's the right way to put it. It's hard for me to even describe this stuff because I don't know. I've never dealt with this before. You know what I mean? So I really do need to get to the, but to follow up on what I'm doing is I'm getting my test done. Once I get through the physical part of these medical tests and these weights off my shoulders, I'm going to get the therapy that I need, you know. And once I get locked in with a therapist and I start doing this work, I'm going to put myself back on track mentally. Because as I said, right now, I'm definitely mentally ill. I mean, that just is what it is. I mean, you got to at least acknowledge things you're going through to fix them, you know what I mean? So you can't make it something that it's not just because it sounds better, or that people would rather hear that, or it makes you look better or anything like that. That's what I say. Like, I'm wide open about myself. I've been insecure my whole life. I've had, you know, different issues as far as that goes. You know, I was always really, really thin, so I got picked on a ton when I was a kid. So, you know, I say what I say, but, you know, this isn't like a person without flaws that's telling you, oh, yo, you're this or you're that. So it's never been that, you know. It's never been someone that's above anybody else in that fashion, you know what I mean? Physically, I that's the one thing I seem to have control over, you know. That's the thing is, I have control over my physicality, and I'm a physical cat, so I can train myself. That I could do. I could train myself physically. That does help my mind as well to stay on track. To a certain extent, you know, you need all the anchors you can get to keep things in place, you know, where they should be. And, you know, my home's a very controlled environment. That's the thing. But you see these little sample pieces of this and this when you're out, and you go like, oh, I already know how shit goes in a job. You know, I already know you have like this person that likes to get under people's skin, and this one that treats you like garbage, and this one that talks down to you, and this one that's got an attitude, and this one that, you know, and I traversed that for 21 years of an extremely toxic environment. That place was as toxic as it gets, and I survived it by any means necessary. You know, I did what I had to do, and that doesn't, you know, to me, I don't look back at my time there and say that I'm sorry for something that happened. You know what I mean? I mean, there's accidents that happen for sure, you know, but I feel like any mistakes or decisions that I made along the way, it just comes with the territory of life. Like I said, no one's flawless. So when it comes down to, you know, I mean, I had life or death decisions to make on a regular basis for a long time. This kitten or that kitten is dying, and that's it. Like, there's no kittens are dying option. There's this or this, and I need the answer in, like, the next 10 minutes because the doctor's leaving in a half hour, and she needs to get it done now, because if she doesn't get it done, then I, meaning the person asking me, would have to do it, and then she's going to be pissed off about having to do that. So I got to hurry up with my decision on what I got to pick out of this and this. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Like, it impacts you over time. It continues to pile on top of you. It becomes something that's very, very hard to wake up every day, just be a normal person, knowing that the lives of these animals are on your hands. And the amount of just toxic behavior within that environment of people just attacking each other, it's so funny because it's like, it's so hard to find people that will actually go above and beyond for animals. But when you put them all in one space, if you do get a handful of them, it's so hard to find them. But then when you do get a handful of them, half of them won't fucking do half of what they need to do. And then maybe half of the other group that's left will hate each other. So now it makes everything more difficult than it should be, because everyone's just at fucking turmoil, and it, you know, it's an endless job. It's one of those jobs that doesn't have really an off season. It doesn't have you have peaks and valleys and stuff like that. You know, you have, you know, summertime is crazy with kittens and all, you know, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really stop. You know, you always around the clock have to be concerned about every animal in your care. So now if there's 80 cats in the building and you're in charge of all the cats, as I was, you know, obviously there's people in these different areas that are responsible for those animals. But, you know, I was a supervisor of these people. So I would try to help to make sure that everybody stayed on top of things. And we had a fantastic cat staff. I mean, I can't say enough about how proud I was of the crew that we had at our peak, and the way we were able to do things before the higher-ups intervened and really just fucked things up. We were doing just amazing things for animals, you know, and that's just a fact. But again, like, when you keep going through all of these different things and this toxic environment, it just continues to do mental damage to you. Because it's a lot for a human to handle. It's a lot. But yeah, it's one of those things that when you see things like that, you see the way that workplaces are, and it's not just the one I was at, but I just know how it is everywhere. There's a little bits of that everywhere you go. Now, with animals, it's way more heightened because there's animals' lives on the line. So if you get a shit employee, I mean, that's someone who's neglecting animals in front of you and collecting a check. So now you gotta try to rein that in, and that's a difficult thing to do. You know what I mean? Especially now in today's society where you can't say anything to anybody and everything else. But I can't fire anybody over this or that or whatever. You know, not that there was a ton of that that needed to be done anyway. Just occasionally, like, a really bad situation would be just drug out for a lot longer than it needed to be. So every day was more difficult because of the situations that were allowed to be drug out. I mean, it's just what it was. But, you know, you've experienced these things enough to know that what I would normally do and what I could do now and mentally where I'm at. And I just go, I need something. I need a little bit of a, I don't know I even the word to finish that that statement with, but I need therapy. I need some real therapy. I really, really want to avoid medications. I know that's kind of the route that a lot of people are going to want to go, the professionals, I'd imagine. But I just don't want to blur my reality. I don't want to be doped up in any way. I don't want to be altered to where I can't think and process thoughts the way that I would like to. Obviously, there's things that I need to work. But again, I got to get through this therapy and see where it brings me. So that's the goal. And, through the just amazing generosity of everybody who helped us with the GoFundMe, that's what's going to allow this to even end well, because it's like we got our mortgage reinstated, okay, but the same bills that were impossible to pay for my wife then are still now, but because of the GoFundMe, we have this extra money to pad that, and month after month, it'll be all right, and allow me some time to get back, and I'm just so grateful for everybody that has helped me, helped us as a family, and, I'm just going to do my best to, come out the other side of this even better than I was, so that's all I could do. That's all I could do to thank everybody. I don't have any payout at the end of this. I owe the hospitals probably $3,000. I can't imagine a side of things where I'm just on some like incredible run with money. But if I ever, come up on that, for sure, I know who to share with, but yeah, I'm just really trying to get things right. And, it's difficult. It's a struggle. But, Joe Gacy. So, Joe, I had reached out to a few people that I just knew and had a little bigger of a platform, and who I'd at least stayed in contact with, like those types. And I just reached out to Joe and was like, hey, man, if you could share this, maybe it'll help. And, I'd appreciate it. I'm not going to keep bothering you with this or anything. And he did share it and, said, oh man, I hope things were. Now, unfortunately, he shared the wrong link, which even saying this type of thing, this is something that bothers me, because the fact that we've had two GoFundMes since this cancer hit me is something that, I never thought I was going to encounter that. But I can tell you that it's for genuine reasons. I can tell you that it's not like half the GoFundMes are ripped on this thing because a guy tore his elbow up on light tubes and then said, hey, someone pay for a new elbow. And then the next month he's like, yeah, you want to see me rip this elbow off? Like, it's just, this is the type of shit that goes on. People are real, real frivolous with this and real, real loose with that a lot of times. I remember when Kimberly wanted people to pay her to relocate to Florida so that way she could just be in a better spot for wrestling, for a career and everything, And then still got a WWE opportunity and blew it. This is the shit that I mean, is like, you can't be out there asking people for help and then doing nothing with it. You gotta come back up. And even that, like I said, that's a little frivolous to me, Work until you get there. It's not a panicked emergency that you need to be there right now. Maybe she should have got help before she went down there, and then the whole story would have ended differently, but who knows? From the best of my knowledge, I think she got sober, so that's good for her. But yeah, I just, I appreciate him sharing the thing, And again, like, he shared the wrong link. I think one kid donated or whatever. It still works, but it's not, you know, people might look at the link and be like, oh, this is from a year ago. Joe's a nice guy, but well, I'm not fucking with this, you know. So it is what it is. It's not a priority that anybody do anything like that for me or just share it or, you know, you got your own shit going on. And especially once you get onto bigger and better things than where you even knew me from, you know, there's no reason to have to go back and really, you could just kind of no-sell everybody and everyone still thinks, hey, man, he's a good guy. There's no worries there. I mean, he ain't doing nothing wrong. You don't expect them to go back and talk to everybody, but this is the type. Joe's a real dude, you know? And as I just wanted to point out that he's a good dude. That was my whole reason for even bringing that up, is the fact that he shared it, having the platform that he has, and you know, I think that's awesome, you know, that he's still a humble dude. Trevor Lee got released from over there. I don't really know too much about the roster there or anything. It seems like I didn't see him, like, in a whole lot of clips and shit that were going out there. I don't have the best radar for it because I'm not really watching none of it. But and occasionally I'll, you know, watch a show or, a WrestleMania or this or that. But I don't really keep up with it regularly. So I want to say that he hadn't been on TV, but I haven't watched their TV, so I couldn't really tell you. And I think he was at, like, NXT level, but never really got above that. Talented dude, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, the industry is definitely packed with talent. You know, I think he's going to do fine for himself. So, so speaking of GoFundMes that don't make fucking sense to me, the wife beating Necro Butcher, had a GoFundMe up, set up by Jasmine St. Clair. You might know her work as well. Because Necro broke his hip in Japan, and I guess wherever he was wouldn't treat him or wouldn't, so they had to transfer him somewhere else with a broken hip, and I don't know. But, I mean, she's out there calling him an American hero and this, and Dolph Ziggler dropped, I think, $5,000 on this. He threw $5,000 at the Necro Butcher. And I'm sure, like, he probably doesn't know that the guy beats women, but, it's just bothersome to me that they're like, people could be that big of just complete garbage. So much fucking... just hypocrisy. It's crazy that so many people claim to be about shit and claim to have morals and claim to stand up for what's right and da 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 da. And I ain't saying, like, yo, everybody should be fucking Captain America or Hulk Hogan's back in the day gimmick and shit. I'm just saying that, like, I think if it was your sister, if it was your mother, if it was your anybody that you really, your daughter, someone you cared about, and they were just, they had a husband that was just beating the shit out of them because they mishandled money. You know, that to me, like, that doesn't, come on, man. Like, that's not something I can get past and be like, so anyway, where is he working next week? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? I can't get past it. I won't. I don't think I should. So it's not something I'm working on. You know what I mean? I'm not like, oh, well, one day I'll be able to get past all of that stuff that I don't agree with. And it's not even like I just don't agree with it. It's just morally wrong. And if I'm going to give people passes on stuff like that and animal abuse and the kid touchers like RF and all of that stuff, I can't look at myself and be like, yo, I'm holding up some kind of morals for myself. I'm putting forth an example that, you know, makes sense, that I would want my kids to, you know, admire, you know. Not that, you know, I'm just like modeled citizen and perfect person that everything needs to be admired from, but the values that, you know, we don't put our hands on women. That just doesn't happen. And I got girls, you know, so for my daughters to know that's unacceptable behavior, that's important. Because you don't want them in those situations, you know. If they see nothing but dad smacking mom around the house, next thing you know, they get in a relationship and they think that's normal. Like, this is just something you don't want in your life. You know, these are the type of scumbags you just want to distance yourself from and say, nah, that motherfucker didn't get it. You know, he might know this and he might know that, but he don't know some real important shit that, you know what, there's no agree to disagree there. Get the fuck away from me. That's over there. It's just how I feel. So, I mean, I was hoping that the cancer, whatever he had, killed him, you know? And people could hate on me and say the same about me, but what did I do? I saved animals for 21 years. I'm a person that loves his animals, his family. I really don't know what I have done that could cause that type of reaction. What I'm responding to, someone who bludgeoned a woman. I don't wish a happy life on that guy. Just don't. Especially with his response to it. It was like, well, what would you do? Well, not that, bro. Like, what the fuck? Like, what kind of shit? Just the picture that was painted. The woman was in a fetal position on a recliner, and he was just wailing blows down. And you just see a necro butcher match. Instead of being Justice Payne or whoever he was beating up, it was a woman, and that's a sickening image to me. So, fuck them. But, you know, again, like, this is the type of people that, you know, Danny DeMano will hail as awesome, and you know, Rob Black or fucking DJ Hyde, or, you know, a lot of these guys will co-sign this as a great guy and will hate me because I comment on their shit, and it's not positive. You know, when I say what I don't like about their shit, they have a higher regard for a guy who beats women than they do someone who just doesn't agree with them. It's wild, right? But is what it is, you know what I mean? Let me see what else I got. Yeah, ICW, from what I hear, they were, like, doing, like, a, oh, we're going away, da-da-da-da-da. I heard they're already coming back in September. And it's an Ian Rotten move. It's just, oh, my God, we're going to miss you. And then, like, well, the comeback show, and you get a big-ass draw because everybody's like, well, we missed it for 3 months. Like, gives a fuck. Yeah. You know what? Speaking of death matches and all of that stuff. I got to put over my man, Anthony Masao, the North Korean assassin. If anyone doesn't know this guy's story, Anthony, he's a good friend of mine. He's one of the few people that hit me up on a regular basis on, you know, we talk on the phone, you know, the text message, whatever the fuck. DM. He's 46 years old and decided pretty much he wanted to get into this wrestling, deathmatch wrestling at that. And not in this weirdo fucking way where half of these losers are out there in their 40s and they're trying to just, like, drag themselves in and out of matches and living in warehouses and wherever the fuck else. I shouldn't even say warehouses because he's not even 40. He just looks 50. But you know, just real, just like dirtbag kind of life. This guy works out in like shipping yards and shit and does all this shit where like he works pretty much 7 days a week, like maybe six some weeks. You know, these guys working. He's out in Vegas working in the hottest fucking weather you could possibly imagine. You know, doing everything he can. And he's also, you know, he's been a huge collector for years. So, I mean, he could tell you the history of wrestling. I mean, if you give him time, you just throw a name at him. He'll give you stories about him, what kind of, he's got this. He's got this guy's boots, and he's got this one's mask, and he loves the masks, so he's got a ton of the Lucha masks. And but, you know, that's his thing. His thing has been collectibles. He's super into Onita. Got the Onita tattoo, you know, Onita loves him. So, you know, when you know the type of dude this is and how much he studies and how much he respects wrestling, I mean, you know he's not just going to go out there and just make a joke out of it. And he hasn't. He's put in everything he can to it. He knows at 46 he's limited physically, so he's going to do what he can do. But in the same token, he's going to plan out all these spots. He's going to plan out his gimmick. He's going to put in these layers of his gimmick that works so well that makes it look like this big, larger-than-life presentation. And I'm proud of him. I think he's doing a fantastic job. Like I said, this is a guy who works his ass off. This isn't someone who's trying to make it off of wrestling or anything. And a lot of the guys in the business can learn a lot from fucking Anthony. And I know a lot of people are going to hear that and be like, oh, what the fuck, man? That's bullshit. No. A lot of these guys are fucking losers. And Anthony, in a very short period of time, has learned how to make a little bit go a long way. And do it well with suspense and cinematics, and just he puts work into it. He respects the craft, you know? So I just had to shout my dude out. From what I heard about the Drew Gulak situation, I think this is bullshit. I think that Drew got fired because Ronda Rousey doesn't respect the wrestling business. I think she overreacted to something that was like a nothing and got him fired. They said I've heard varied ways that it was typed up depending on, you know, how they want to paint it. There's some that says, oh, he pulled on her drawstring. And then there's a lot of other stories, including the one that he says, that is, he touched her drawstring. Now, the reason why any drawstring was touched or any of that was because he's standing there with his hand waiting to shake her hand, as you customarily do in wrestling locker rooms, but she's not used to wrestling locker rooms, and she doesn't respect the whole scene to begin with. I mean, that's why she came into the WWE and immediately started talking about, like, I'm a real fighter. Like, all right, we know where you came from. That's why you're a huge draw. Why don't you just fucking play along? You know what I mean? Like, so, but he was standing there with his hand, the people were talking, and it brushed her drawstring. So instead of a handshake, he got a fucking firing. You know, that's how I heard it. And that she blew shit out of proportion, and for what? You know, who's worth more money, Ronda Rousey or Drew Gulak? So, you know who's winning that one. And, you know, I'll say in Drew's defense, too, that, you know, Drew Gulak was one of the head trainers at CZW. He was, I think he did a lot of training at Shikara as well. Now, both of those places had their owners canceled for inappropriate behavior. What you didn't see in any of those reports on either one of those companies was misconduct by Drew Gulak. So as far as I'm concerned, if there wasn't a single fucking accusation out there saying, well, this guy, that was DJ's henchman. He really did this or he really did that. Like, I didn't see any of that. None of it. Not with Drew. And to me, if that's the case, I find it really, really hard to believe that he was going to shoot his very first shot with Ronda Rousey, and that was going to be the way he did it. I just don't buy it. And then, you know, like after the fact, you hear 3 days later after he's fired, 2 days later, oh, yeah, he was a real big bully in the locker room, and did it. And I'm like, bro, like, I know he gained a little bit of muscle and everything, and the guy could wrestle his ass off, but, like, let's settle the fuck down. Act like he's this loose cannon and no one could rein in the WWE locker room. Let's just fucking cut it out. You guys are trying to make yourself look better because you fired the guy because Ronda Rousey's word is larger than his. And, again, it was a nothing. It was a fucking nothing. Like, there was nothing exposed. There was nothing inappropriate actually touched. I mean, a drawstring in a fucking wrestling where you guys are reverse waist-locking, schoolboying, and all of that other shit, that's real, real touchy-feely. You know, I'm not saying that it's free range to do whatever you want in the locker room because of it, but I'm saying if, like, the back of someone's hand touched a drawstring, I don't know that that's an assault. So I wasn't there, but from the story I heard and from as long as I've known Drew, I don't believe Ronda Rousey's side. So that's just how I feel about it. Andrew Gulak didn't share my thing, by the way. Yeah, I mean, so I'm just, this isn't like biased bullshit that I just want to stick up for Drew Gulak, because like, he's not even really my type of wrestler, you know what I mean? I just known the dude for a long time, since he was a little ass kid coming to CZW, but like all that technical wrestling and shit, that's never really been my thing. I can acknowledge that it's being done well, but that's never been my, you know what I mean? Let me see. What else we got? Cat Williams special sucked completely. Completely sucked. It was real bad. They pretty much sold you a bag of beans. I think he pretty much got that. I don't know if that was locked in before that. I want to say that he got that because of the Shannon Sharp interview. I don't know how long, you know, ahead of time the deals are done and stuff like that. So I can't really, you know, say for sure, though. But I would say, because he got an enormous buzz off of that, and all of a sudden it was a live special, and they don't do live specials with everybody. The last one I think they did was Chris Rock, and that was coming off of the whole thing that happened with Will Smith. So that was the reason for the live special on that, and I think the reason for the live special was to draw people to think that Cat was gonna fuck everybody up. Well, I think there was probably some things told to him, like, yo, you can't go out there and attack Kevin Hart. He's under our contract, too. Like, you're not going to bury our stars while you're out here. You know, here's this however many millions of dollars. But, Kevin's off limits and this one and that. You know what I mean? So they just didn't do it. And he was doing some real, like, amateur kind of bullshit. You know, a lot of, like, these comics that are on the lower level and, like, the, you know, clubs and, you know, comedy clubs and shit like that, they'll do, like, slideshows and shit like that and make comments on the pictures and stuff like that. There was a meme that was, I want to say it was at least 2 years ago that I saw that meme. But it was, like, they said this blind kid couldn't play football and da-da-da-da-da. And then they show him in a football uniform, and they're playing, like, what's going on? It's, like, heavy metal and shit, and he's running around just in circles like he's fucking lost and shit. It's, just like, a silly-ass video that someone, you know, clipped together and everything. But Cat actually showed that on stage. Like, you're telling me that you're one of the best comedians there is, and on live Netflix special, after you just, you know, had the internet on fire with the Shannon Sharp thing, you're showing me the video of the kid running around, like the exact compilation clip that I shared with people a couple years ago. It's lazy bullshit, and it's not good. It's not good at all. The next night was the Tom Brady roast, and that was fantastic. You know, they crushed that. So, obviously, the Kevin Hart Cat Williams thing is for that weekend was settled pretty easily, but yeah, I like Cat. I just, you know, I wanted him to really bring it. It doesn't make any sense for him not to. I can't imagine he's gonna have a whole lot of more deals for specials after that, because I talked to multiple people that were like, yeah, that was garbage, that wasn't good at all. So yeah. Let me see. Oh, I'm tired of seeing Steve Austin with this fucking cat. First off, he beat women too, so I mean, let's just get that out there right off the bat. But also, like, this cat lives outside / in the barn, and you know, he's gonna act like he loves this cat, and fucking anyone who has a cat to control rodents is not loving the cat. Like, if your cat's outside, you're rolling the dice with his fucking life, his or her life. And that's it. And then you're going to act like, it just damn happens. Damn coyote got the cat. You know, the cat's friendly as hell. It's rolling around on your lap. That's not a cat that's ready for self-defense. That's a cat, you know. People want best of both worlds, so they torture fucking animals for it, you know. People want a barn cat that takes care of all the rodents and snakes and this or whatever. And then they want it to also be friendly with their kids. Well, then that's a house cat that you're making live outside. That's what you're doing. That's not, you know, this isn't a feral cat that's out there wild and just you can't come near it, but it clears the fucking land of this and this and this, which I don't agree with either because I've said it a million times. These are the same cats that live in our houses. They just need to be domesticated. They need to be rehabilitated from that life. And taught how to be just part of a household. And it works very fucking well. And so it's not like some unknown fucking crazy secret that you need to have and, oh, some cats just aren't. That's what they tell you because society as a whole has decided they fucked up with cats and it's best to just call a large percent of them, just untamable. Because then you don't feel bad about all the beautiful animals that are out there just fucking dying. That's seemingly how it's set up. Is they want to continue to just beat this drum that you can't tame them. Can't tame them. Well, what can you do? Oh, I know, it's a shame. You know? And that's seemingly the stance. You know? It's a shame. And I just wish the narrative on that would change. You know, I've seen so many dumb arguments that come up all the time. Oh, you should go to such and such a country. They do terrible things and they don't care at all. And it's like, well, just because it's worse doesn't mean that you shouldn't want better. You know? You don't just like... Like, if your car breaks, you don't just go, well, in such and such a country, all they have is horses. All right, I guess I don't need a car now. Like, no, you still live on, you know, the standards that you're used to. You don't have to lower your standards because some fucking other stupid country has no fucking standards. So you're like, oh, so barely any standards. That's enough of a bump up. I don't need to be all the way up where we really treat them with respect. We can come anywhere in the middle, and that's fine because other countries are really bad with them. And then you hear stuff like, oh, in Europe, it's not even normal for them to keep them inside. They all roam outside and da-da-da. So they're all rolling the dice with the cat's lives. I mean, you can't work in the field and not see what happens to them outside. My wife works in an emergency vet hospital, so she sees all sorts of terrible things that happens to cats outside, and some of them make it and some of them don't. I've seen shit in the shelter. Some of them make it and some of them don't. You see some of them that live with trauma. You see that some of them live with lifelong injuries and scars, and these are the things that they have to battle through because people have chosen this for them. Things that would be they just wouldn't be a thing if we didn't just allow them out to the world and just go do as you. But again, this is like, you can't argue with these people because they have their feet so set on defending that stance that it's just fucking fine. Just let them out. Nothing. Hey, if something happens, it just happens. Well, how the fuck are you going to tell me that you care about the animal then? If it's like, maybe I have a cat tomorrow, maybe I don't. Like, I don't understand that. I refuse to just go, well, that's the same as me keeping my cat safe. because that's what they want you to believe. You know, it doesn't make sense to me. You know, and then like there's certain things that over time they become like, quote unquote cat lovers will really like cling to this shit. But it's been bad always. It's always been bad. The Hemingway House, right? That's on in Florida or wherever the fuck, on Florida Keys or wherever the fuck. And a lot of people call, like, the polydactyl cats Hemingway cats. Polydactyls when they have extra toes. That comes from inbreeding. That's what that comes from. So if, like, they're just, the whole family just keeps reproducing and no one's stopping it, they start coming out with deformities, and that's the first place the deformities show. The most common place of deformity show in cats. And, so that's not a good thing. That's never been a good thing. I mean, it's adorable. I love polydactyl cats. I mean, once they're here, what are they going to do? They need everything a normal, you know, cat would need. So it's not like they should be dismissed at all. But the place that creates these openly and there's just like, yep, this is Hemingway, and they just like, they have these friendly fucking cats that you can just go to the Hemingway House and sit outside and pet all these friendly cats, and they're vetted and all of this and whatever, but they're just outside in Florida with fucking alligators and fucking pythons that are like, you know, people released, and they're just fucking enormous, bigger than anything pet stores have, but like they're just out there fucking eat your cats, you know, like, it's just people look away from the parts of things they don't like, and they just act like they can recreate the picture without a big part of it, you know, they could see a kitten pouncing a flower in a field, but if that kitten lives out there, and it's just playing carelessly in the field with flowers and dandelions and all of that, hawks will eat that motherfucker in no time. But we don't want to talk about that. We just, oh, cute kittens and flowers, and it's, that ain't reality. It's not fucking reality. And if you actually care about animals, it's hard for me to just see, someone petting a nice cat outside and being like, oh, you're doing your best. No. You're leaving that cat out there to survive when it's not equipped for it at all. The best equipped cats to survive outside are the ones that you can't touch. So as soon as you're making contact with cats already, and if you're responsible for that cat, you're failing them by keeping them outside. And, it's just, this is the type of thing that just haunts my mentality on a regular basis, so it's hard to get through, you know. Shane Strickland won the title off of Joe. I don't know. I just, Shane's hard to, I can't really support him. I mean, I do say, you know, I am proud of seeing him get to the place that he's at. But, I mean, you know, he's another one of these dudes that, like, I said shit about him. And then years later, I told him, like, this is probably right before he signed with AEW. He was still with WWE. And I sent him a message saying, hey, man, you know, I'm really proud of shit you're doing. Because I was, and I am. But he's like, oh, don't think I forgot about the shit you said about me, and put, like, vomiting emojis. And it's like, yo, listen, bruh. This is the shit that I say. And people will then just take it as an insult rather than taking it as criticism and seeing why I might be saying this type of thing, especially if I'm someone who talked to you before and you had no issues with. So, like, that whole JML thing was a joke. That was ridiculous. That was Sami Callihan, David Starr, Shane Strickland. I don't remember who else. Rich Swann. Yeah, damn, almost every one of them have cases on them, huh? Cancel cases. I think that was, it was something like that. There was a bunch of them, but it was like, no one knows what the fuck JML means, but that's like their inside secret, and then they have this thing, but they're all kind of following Sammy, and I just knew that all these cats, for the most part, as far as their talent went, didn't need to be surrounding Sammy and being Sammy's fucking henchman. Shane had already proved himself pretty far into CZW and really needed to get the fuck out of there. I told him that for a while. He needed to get the fuck out of there. Because if he got out of there, he'd get bigger opportunities. And when he got out of there, what the fuck did he get? So, this is what I've told people. I've told people this. I said it fucking a couple years ago with the rep, too. I think they're a good tag team. I think they're a very good tag team. I think they'd be a lot fucking better if they got the fuck out of CZW and made that part of their past and not their present. Or future. But they didn't listen, and they're still there, and now they're probably fucking 38 years old or whatever the fuck they are, and they're trainers or whatever they are, but they're not going to be like a TV tag team because they fucking wasted all their time with DJ Hyde. People don't realize that, is that sometimes, you know, you're in the wrong place. You got the right set of talent. You got the right skill set. You got the right... A lot of things are going in the right direction, and you're just putting it in the wrong spot, yeah, and you're putting it in the wrong venue. So that was my criticism of him then, and I thought it made him look like a goofball because he was following around Sammy and shit like a puppy, and I was right, bro. Like, whether you like it or not, I was fucking right. Because you ain't with him no more. He's in fucking TNA, fat as fuck, and you're the world champion of a TV product. So, congrats, bro. Let's talk a little bit more about CZW. So, you know, the thing about CZW is I always have a soft spot for CZW because CZW was my favorite independent wrestling promotion. It was, you know, a lot of people's heyday in attending wrestling is ECW. I've said it time and time again. Mine was not. Mine was CZW from February 2001. And, it was at least 10, 12 years of, like, every month. And I miss a month here and there, but not much. And, I attended doubleheaders. I attended every show. CZW in Sewell, CZW in Philly, CZW in Delaware. And I missed some Delaware shows, but because that shit is like 3.5 hours for me or whatever. But I was heavily invested in CZW just as a fan, you know. I grew away from wrestling as a whole, but it just became very watered down. It became very not for me anymore. One part of that was definitely led by DJ Hyde. Because DJ Hyde was someone no one ever wanted to see. No one ever looked for DJ Hyde. No one ever was like, yo, I hope the DJ Hyde match tonight is such and such. I hope DJ Hyde wrestles such and such. No one ever fucking said that. He was like forced upon us, you know? Like, he money marked his way in or whatever the fuck he did, which he denied the whole time and then bought the company. Like, people would be like, yo, like, this dude's clearly a money mark because they're just, like, slamming him into fucking matches that we don't want to see him in. Like, Brain Damage and Danny Havoc had this fucking awesome match. And then it was supposed to be the rematch, Brain Damage, Danny Havoc, and they fucking throw DJ Hyde in last minute as, like, a fucking, well, last minute to the fans. I mean, could have planned it the whole time that way, but last minute to the fans, they fucking, his fucking music hits, and it's a three-way. And you're just like, oh, what the fuck? I think it was a three-way, unless they made it a tag match or whatever. But, like, no one wanted that. No one was fucking happy about that. So, like, purposely make shit worse because this guy is a priority to get, like, wedged into this. And then, again, like, so people would, oh, yeah, I think he's a money mark, da-da-da, Delaware thing, and, you know. And it was like, no. DJI just bought CZW. Oh, shit. So, but anyway, no one was ever looking for this cat. So the mind of DJ Hyde wasn't going to create the CZW that everyone wanted. DJ would continue to just insult your intelligence. I've had him on this podcast multiple times and talked to him for 2-3 hours, and him just talking fucking circles of carny bullshit, just keep trying to, well, this is, you know, and it's just like, Jesus fucking Christ. And it was more for comedy by the end, because it was just like, man, like, this dude will come on here and I'll fucking hit him with real questions. And he'll just fucking just dance. He will just fucking spin plates and just try to keep this shit from crashing. And, you know, but when DJ got canceled, but anyway, so to summarize what I was just saying is that's the reason why I have a soft spot for CZW, because it was such a thing that I enjoyed so much. That now, like, even when some shit happens, if it catches my attention from CZW, that's why. Not because I followed a product now and I give a fuck where it's going or anything like that. But, like, if they suddenly make some fat shithead world champion, I'm going to be like, what the fuck? What are they doing? You know? And it's what they did. So anyway, when DJ bought the company, or not when DJ bought the company, when DJ got canceled, that was it. He was a perv to all the women. Everything was, you know, he didn't stand a chance of just coming back and running the same company. He sure as fuck didn't stand much of a chance of running a WSU again. And he just was done. When GCW showed up, also, factor that in, because when GCW showed up, they started giving the fans all the things that DJ told them was impossible. That he tried his hardest and you just couldn't make it happen. They just started delivering fucking this one, that one, Jody Fleisch, this, oh, here's Zandig again, you know, like, all this shit. And, you know, that hurt DJ even more, because now it was like, they just proved that you're a liar on everything. You know, they just proved that what you said isn't doable, and no one else, there was no one else around. So it was like, if DJ can't do it, I guess we're not getting it, because none of these other companies do what CZW does. And then GCW's like, oh, we'll do that. And they just topped it. They topped it because they were willing to go above and beyond to do what the fans have been screaming for. And then DJ would say it was impossible. So that was the other thing that hurt him. But when he got canceled, he couldn't come back and just run a company. He couldn't just do what he did before. He couldn't be an active performer, and his company couldn't even resemble what it did before. What could DJ have done to revive CZW where people didn't immediately come to try to cancel him? Well, what he did do is he attached himself to the black community. And, it's so blatant that I don't know how someone could even be surprised by what I just said. There'll be somebody. But look at their roster. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that's never been CZW. And that is the crutch that is holding DJ in the wrestling business right now. Because he's just like, I don't give a fuck if I gotta run Urban Wrestling Federation in fucking Maryland and fucking here and in there, because no one's gonna come for me now, because now I'm giving all these young black kids opportunities. So who's gonna come take him out now? Nobody. So he gets to continue to run shows after being the creep he was, because he opened his doors to allow it to change into what it is now. And I'm not begrudging, you know, any of these kids for taking the opportunity that was given to them. But we're also going to be realistic about talent and not talent. You know, DJ High telling you you're talented and giving you the belt, that isn't going to do a goddamn thing for me if I watch the product and you look like dog shit. So let's just cut. So let's talk about another thing too. Right before we get to this dude, the champion prior was Rich Swann. Well, the only reason Rich Swann is even available to DJ Hyde, because he was dragging a bitch around in the street. The same reason he doesn't have a WWE contract anymore is the same reason why DJ Hyde has him. So that's not like, oh, CZW's the place to be and look at all this talent. That's why that is. So Aaron Ash. This dude, I mean, look, I at first saw this cat cutting a promo. I seen him cutting a promo, and he's got a cut-off CZW shirt on and some basketball shorts. Sneakers are just fucking trying to leave. I mean, they're just fucking feet are trying to bust out them sneakers and shit. They're on a jailbreak, you know? Shit is looking crazy. He's just looking like he just left the gym. That's his look, is he looks like he always just left the gym, except for he doesn't look like he ever been to a gym. Physically. You know what I mean? He looks like he just bought the clothes for it, like he's cosplaying for the gym. But his promo is garbage. It's just big rah, 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 I'm da-da-da, and it didn't go anywhere. Then he broke his sunglasses, because that'll show somebody else how tough you are as you break plastic fucking sunglasses. Like, what level of strength do you need to break a pair of sunglasses? I mean, I could see if you took them off someone else's face and you snapped them in front of them and shit, like disrespect. You just broke your own shit. So to me, that just looks like you're stupid. That doesn't look like you're dominant. It just looks like you're stupid and you go through a lot of money just breaking your own shit. Maybe that's why you're on better gear than that. I don't know. So I saw that and I was like, this is where CZW is. This is crazy, man. Let me go to the actual. I'm gonna make sure I pull up these tweets and shit because I want to read what he said as well. And, you know, so then I saw they gave him the title after that. That was like the go-home promo before the show that he won the title. Basketball shorts and a fucking, don't look like basketball's ever happened, don't look like the gym has happened, don't look like any kind of sports was happening. But he's mad at sunglasses, so he won the title. So I had never seen this cat wrestle. I just saw his presentation was garbage. His promos aren't good, and his look is garbage. And again, you can get mad, and you can talk whatever you want to talk, but I'm responding to the product that you presented to the world. This is the person who's being built up as world champion. And your presentation looks like you don't care. So why the fuck should I care? You don't care, I ain't gonna care. So and I saw he was at the Love Park. Yeah, they do shows at like family oriented places now, and that's the other thing, man. He's built this like this big tough guy, this big like, oh, he's so dominant, this and this. But like, you're doing more family friendly shit now than ever. DJ just announced that all shows except for Tournament of Death going forward, 14 and under, are free. This isn't a thriving company. Thriving companies don't let 14 and under free. They don't. But yeah, I mean, so I saw NAA, you know, went under the Love Park sign and he held the belt up. And I look and it's the same fucking outfit. The same fucking outfit. And that's when I was just like, yo, I just gotta fucking say something. So I commented. And I said, it's ridiculous that the best this world champion can do is basketball shorts and a cut-off CZW shirt. So this guy gets on the Twitter, and he goes, Here's the attention you were looking for. First off, I don't look for attention from fucking obese, shitty CZW wrestlers. There ain't a motherfucking reason why I would need your attention ever. If I ran a food truck, I'd want your attention because I'd make fucking bank. If I ran a buffet, I'd want your attention. A fucking ice cream shop. I see, you know what I mean? You see where I'm going. I don't have any fucking reason to want random fucking shitty wrestlers' attention. I'm 46 years old. No thanks, bro. So that wasn't the whole thing he did. Here's the attention you were looking for. When I do, quote-unquote, my best, I'll be sure to let you know so you can see what you can't afford. So one day this cat's going to break out his Sunday best outfit, and he's going to tag me in some shit that he found in the closet or he went and bought with all his CZW money and to try to flaunt. I mean, what? I think he misheard everything I said. Your presentation is just how you show up all the time. Your presentation, and yo, I've always been just a rugged type of, like, I'm not a pretty cat, you know what I mean? So I'm not one of these cats that's going to be out there like, yo, I'm this way or I'm that way, because I'm also not presenting myself as entertainment for somebody else. I'm not calling myself the world champion and put myself on the top of a poster. I'm not putting myself into any kind of spotlight to say, this is the best presentation of me that I can give you. You know what I mean? That's not my avenue. That's what you're doing. You've chosen to do that. This is why you're open to criticism when you present yourself in a certain way and you present yourself as superior amongst this group, this federation. You're supposed to be the champion. When I first walked into CZW back in 2001, champ was Justice Payne. Never saw Justice Payne before. But when I walked in, this guy was jacked up. He walked with confidence. He talked his shit on the mic. You know, he wasn't the greatest wrestler in the world, but he found ways to have some really good matches that I enjoyed a lot. He was a, to me, he was a great champion. You know, a lot of people criticize me. He was a bad wrestler, da 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 da. But if you watch the company as, you know, a product, and you saw, you know, your faces and your heels and the way that the champion came up, he portrayed that role very, very well. This is not that. This is not that at all. So, that's what you said. You know, like, when you do your best, you'll let me know so I can see what I can. I don't want to afford anything. You know what I mean? I'm not looking to afford anything. So you're not going to, like, you know, get fucking 8 miles of fabric, turn it into a suit, and then fucking have me go, oh, I wish I had all that fabric. You know what I mean? That's probably why you dress like that, is because they can't find fucking clothes to fit you yet. They're still sewing them. But DJ's like, oh, I got shit that can fit you. It's CZW brand, but, like, that's what we got. It's crazy, man. So, and I said, you know, say what you want, but you look like you just left the gym minus the physique. And I said, your presentation is lazy. You look like DJ's champion. And that's the best description I can give you of him is DJ's champion, because he is not good. He's not a good wrestler. His presentation is crazy. So anyway, I was like, well, and then somebody else was like, I don't know if they were trolling me or what, but they said, oh, he's the best champion since Drake. And I'm like, that's fucking crazy. This guy's been a champion for like 2 weeks. Masada had the belt for like a year and a half. So then he starts calling Masada garbage, and I'm trying to tell him, like, that's not a fucking thing. Like, Masada is for sure one of the best hybrid wrestlers, deathmatch wrestlers in the world, and has been for a long fucking time. And that's not really debatable. I mean, people get hate on it, and, oh, he doesn't take bumps, or he has a shirt on. You guys are weirdos. I mean, it's just, there's guys that are still to this day running around and trying to do the shit that he did. Just even skewers and gusset plates alone. Look how rampant it is in indie wrestling right now. He brought both of those things to the table. So, I mean, again, to the states, you know, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you just can't take away, you know, the innovation. You can't take away the technical matches he's had with people. I mean, I think a lot of his world title matches were great. So say what you want to say, but I'm not agreeing with that crazy ass shit, especially when a guy had the title for 2 weeks. And he started talking about this guy brought, he brought a weed whacker to Love Park. That doesn't make him a fucking good wrestler. That makes him a good landscaper. What are you fucking talking about? So I'm not really playing with all that. So I was like, yo, look, I gotta go watch this guy wrestle. If I'm going to say anything else, because now, like, I know I'm going to be on this show and I'm going to talk some shit. So I was like, well, I got to go see him wrestle. I mean, maybe this cat is, you know, maybe he's legit. Maybe he's tearing people's fucking heads off in that company. He's not. I watched him wrestle some little cruiserweight kid. He definitely seems to be booked up against small guys. So he can look big and dominant. For anybody who hasn't seen this guy, he looks like Grimace cosplaying as Uncle Phil, who's cosplaying as a wrestler. So he's, you know, that's what he looks like. But then he's got, like, you know how, like, in old school, like, No Mercy and stuff like that, you can set your taunts however you want? Well, he's got, like, Randy Orton's taunt set. Even though, like, there's nothing to be spreading your arms about, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't do that if I had that kind of crazy shit going on. So, but he's got, like, a black and silver singlet. And I mean, I don't know why. I just don't know why. He's in terrible shape. You know? He's got, like, an A on his gun. And no one's looking for that, bro. No one needs that. I mean, the fucking black and silver looks like the L.A. King Zamboni. You know, it looks like a fucking a Raiders float if they ever won the Super Bowl. That's what you look like, a fucking Raiders float. You know, and you're like, look at all this Raiders float. Every time you spread your fucking arms. So anyway, he wrestled that kid. Nothing impressive as far as I'm concerned. He's got an also unimpressive valet that I guess helps him. She helped him win the Rich Swann thing. And then the Rich Swann match, so I watched the two matches, that one and then the Rich Swann one. And the Rich Swann one was just Swann selling everything like death. Everything from fucking... And he was just doing basic big man shit. Back elbow, you know, send off the ropes, back elbow. Send off the ropes, clothesline. Scoop slam. Shit like that. You know, and like, yeah, like, he moves around for being as out of shape as he is. He moves around real well. But that's not a, you know, that's like saying, like, oh, that's, you know, he's like a... great for a fat guy, but not really, you know, because, like, I've even seen better working fat guys. Who's that guy? Ace something or other. He used to fly all over the place, but he was just, like, super gross. I don't know. He must have hurt himself because I stopped. I just remembered him, like, just now. You know? But, yeah, I mean, this dude looks ridiculous, and, like, the gear is just, it's gross, and... The moveset is garbage. There's nothing devastating looking. Again, this is, you know, I used to watch Nate Hatred. I used to watch the old real Nick Gage, the real actual Nick Gage that came out and just fucked people up. You know, not the one that's tag teaming with Japanese chicks and you know, on and off the shit. I mean, the one that was just, I guess, on the shit back then and I don't know. That's not what I'm looking for, but I'm just saying what may have been happening at the time. But no, I mean, I definitely was watching Gage back before he was on any kind of shit. Definitely saw shifts and things and, you know, whatever. But they were aggressive back then, you know. There were some aggressive motherfuckers in CZW's past. This is not what that looked like. You know, this isn't what that looked like at all. So, I mean, you could be proud of yourself to be world champion. You could be proud that DJ put you over and all that, but that's all this is fat people being proud of fat people. This is all that is. This isn't you being also, awesome or dope or, I mean, there's no part of what you're doing out there that's special. You're like if Monster Mac was never carried by Dan Moff and never had Low-Key as his cousin. That's what you would be. You know. And even he had a little stretch there, but it was within the Hit Squad. It was within the Hit Squad, but he had a stretch there that he was doing shit way better than what you were doing. You know, the Fat Guy Moonsault is done. Stop that shit too, because that's not over anymore. You know what I mean? A handful of fat guys got in. You know what I mean? It's like a green light. You know what I mean? When that shit starts turning yellow, you got to stop doing Fat Guy Moonsaults. No one gives a fuck anymore. You know what I mean? It's not just like, yo, oh, he gonna, no one cares. No one fucking cares. You know? But yeah, I mean, I just don't see anything special about this cat. You know? That's pretty much it, man. I just, like, I watched the cat, and I just know that, like, this isn't it. Like, what are you going to do with this cat going forward that's going to actually portray him as dominant? All you booked him against was cruiserweights. You had Rich Swann as your champion, who's a cruiserweight. You had fucking other kid that was like his lead up to that match was another cruiserweight. So why, you know, and that's how this cat looks dominant. You know, but like Jeff Cannonball without the death matches. That's what you remind me of, like, skill-wise. I don't remember a single person in CZW that was in that shape since, like, Rob Hartog. I think that was the last person I could say that was, like, in the shape that you're in CZW. I might be forgetting somebody, though. But yeah, ain't nobody thinking that shit is serious. You know what I mean? And my barometer for a lot of that shit too, and it has been for a while, but this is the reason why I would tell people a lot of times, yo, you gotta get the fuck out of here, man. Once you get to the point where you're really, really shining in CZW, you gotta get the fuck out of there. Make that part of your, stepping stone, whatever you want to call it. And you gotta move the fuck on. You don't have that opportunity. You couldn't be on the fucking top of the fucking this card or that card. PWG ain't flying all of that fucking dude in. You know what kind of fucking seats they'd have to pay for just to fly that guy in? I mean, come on, bro. There ain't nobody looking for that. You know? So I don't know. I mean, I don't buy into that shit. I'm not going to give it a ton of attention. But in the same token, it just happened to be something that, like, I saw, and then it just kind of escalated a little bit because he responded, and then I was like, yeah, let me go watch this, and it got worse, and it just got worse. He's, you know, he posted some meme, too, that was misspelled after that, and then I told him, like, hey, man, like, this is, and then he tried to, I guess he corrected it before I made my comment or something, or made a comment on that he fucked up, so, I don't, let me see. Oh, yeah, he put all the, best of the best, opponents, you know, all the competitors in there. And then he commented on each one's picture, like he was running them all down and shit. And then he goes to the one dude, know your role, N-O, your role, and we cool. So So I was just like, come on, man. Like, and I said, you just spelled no. Definitely DJ's champion. So he said, you're late to the party, Jay, but you're doing your best. And I said, someone has to, because you sure aren't, because he's not. And speaking of the best, apparently that's tonight. And I saw them post something earlier that they had some technical difficulties, so you can't watch it live. Fucking 20-something years later, bitch. Like, this is crazy. Still technical difficulties. Major technical difficulties. So major that you're not going to see it live. But also, like, they had Kenta there. Oh, that was another thing I want to point out. So I watched DJ's little, like, preamble on that show. That was the only thing I watched, was that and then the other fat guy. I watched a couple fat guys and called it a day. That was all I could fucking deal with. And DJ was like, when he was talking about, you know, 14 and under is free and shit. And he was like, yeah, so I'm going to announce my best of the next best of the best competitor. The announcement is Kenta. The fucking applause was like, woo! Yeah. It was like, holy shit. I've never heard Kenta get that little of a response. But that's the current CZW. So you're not talking to people who watched high quality, badass fucking CZW wrestling. You're talking to 14 and under free. So that's all. Just stick to talking to them, bro. You're plenty scary to those kids. You know what I mean? You don't really have to work hard. You just come out, just break your sunglasses, and then, you know, go out there and do what you do. And have a shitty-looking valet help you win matches, and, you know. Because then they had to him win by interference with the chick that comes out. She must go to the same gym. Nah, I don't want to diss her like that. It's just... definitely not. Doesn't have the caloric intake of this cat here. But yeah, I mean, it's just, to me, it just looks bad. The whole thing just looks bad. So, CZW's a whole. So then Kenta comes out tonight or today, and he like, you see him look at the camera, and then he like walks over through the curtain. And then he looks at the sign that says, like, best of the best. And he just points at him because I'm going to win that tonight. It's like, I think he didn't remember where the fuck he was at or what he was supposed to be talking about. And he's like, I'll just go point at the sign and let him know that way. And that was, like, the whole video. I was like, I would just leave that shit alone. Again, like, just to give another quick shout-out to Anthony Masao, North Korean assassin, you go... watch that promo that he put up the night before he had that match with Tremont last night. This cat filmed that shit that night on the outside of a motel and his motel room and then posted it that night. They edited it together, posted it that night, and that shit looked better than CZW's fucking whatever 30 fucking years in existence and what they're putting out. That's what I'm saying. Like, effort is just very noticeable. Effort is extremely noticeable. And if you put out effort towards your product, you can at least say, oh man, they really put out a lot of effort in this. Oh, they really, they went all in this. You know, that it's just obvious. And then it's obvious when people don't give a fuck. And like I say, if you don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck. So, what else? Yeah, I'll leave him alone now. I think that's pretty much all I got. But yeah, so shout out to Eric again. Shout out to Jeremy. It's my homies that helped me with this show. Jeremy does the recaps, and Eric is the reason why this show exists in the beginning and now and all that. So, big shout-out to those dudes. And, like I said, Monday I got the results of this test coming up. And so I don't know if looking forward to that is the right way to, I guess, just so I get that piece over. I'm just trying to little by little just get back on track, and it's gonna take a lot of work on my end, and I'm gonna do it. So, but I just want to touch base, talk about some of this shit. I'm really hoping the fucking Timberwolves beat the fucking Nuggets. Can't stand the Nuggets. And Anthony Edwards is just fantastic to watch. He's so entertaining. Really, really talented kid. But that's tomorrow night, so we'll see what goes on there. But yeah, man, I think that's all I had to say, but I don't know. I'm probably missing a bunch of shit. Maybe I do. I'll try to remember, and then I'll write it down, and that'll be the next show. So, but anyway, hit me up with topics. Hit me up with whatever you want to hear me cover, whatever the case is. I'll talk to you motherfuckers later at this point. I'm babbling. Where's my motherfucking outro?
Peace. Talk to y'all later. Have a nice night. Stay dry. It's raining again. I'm tired as rain. Makes my grass green. I won't complain about that. That's all I gotta say. I'm outta here.
I love all of y'all and, shit.
We're all a bunch of fucking assholes.
You been in the gym, bro.
You know why?
DJ Hyde, fuck you.
You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me.
I'll listen to your podcast and I'll find everything out. You know what I mean?
You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy. So? What I make you?
Good? Black Jeez tells me all the time to listen to what you gotta say, because you be blazing people. And I'm like, well, I gotta hear it now.
You just know how to hide. A lot. Me, I don't have that part. Me, I always tell the truth. Even when I lie.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Jesus!
So say goodnight to the bad guy.
I'm gonna tell you something straight off the motherfucking press. I ain't coming for no fools.